Our reading from Luke 22. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and began in anguish. Being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground.
Good morning. Welcome. Glad you're here. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Regulars, we're glad you're here. It's a beautiful morning, and what a great time to worship. Y'all remember Mr. Rogers? Mr. Rogers' neighborhood? Mr. Rogers changed and put on his sweater, remember? And he changed shoes. I'm going to change shoes this morning. I just want you to notice, because this is really unusual for me. I have on clean shoes. Bottom and top. Thank you, Ransom. One of my elders yesterday told me I stunk. My shoes.
No, I said you smell like cow poop.
Okay. So it's not necessarily a stink, it was just a distinctive smell, right? So today, at this moment, I don't. Yeah, this is the constructive criticism that I get. It was true. All right, so I got on clean shoes, bottom and top. And the reason I'm going to change shoes is this morning's sermon is going to step on my toes. And so I'm going to change and put on some old shoes because I do not want to mess up my new shoes as I stomp on my toes this morning. You think I'm kidding you? I'm not kidding you. I'm putting these on. So, they can stand the stomping if you can stand the smell. These were not the ones I had on yesterday, by the way. And I got the contrast. They're black, and I'm wearing brown. Just a good look for me this morning. So, won't you please, won't you be my neighbor? And this discussion this morning that's going to step all over my toes, and I think probably yours, is not a moral lesson. Because sometimes those are the lessons that step on us. Lessons of morality, which are extremely important. But the lesson today is a lesson on prayer. And I, again, am not the most intelligent man in the community. However, I do know we had a great crowd last week, and I preached too long, and we don't have such a big crowd this week. So, lesson learned. So I won't be that long, which is not atypical for me, and some of the most important lessons that I've ever preached here have not been lengthy, nor will this one be. Houston read for us about Jesus praying in the garden, and the fervor with which he prayed, the determination with which he prayed, the concern with which he prayed, to the point, did you notice that an angel came and strengthened him? Did you hear Houston read that as Luke records that for us? In such distress that an angel came and strengthened him. Let's read from Acts, because this comes from our study of the book of Acts. Now in the church at Antioch, we're at Antioch. Saul and Barnabas are in Antioch. There were prophets and teachers. A whole list of names. This is really not into our lesson, but it's really important. Simeon, there's Barnabas is there. Simeon or Simon would have been, of course, Barnabas would have been from a Jewish background. Simeon would have been dark-skinned. Thereby the description of him. Maybe African. We have Lucius of Cyrene. That would have been a Greek name. Okay? And Manian, who was brought up with Herod, would have been a stepbrother to Herod the Tetrarch. Okay? Who had just died as we ended the last chapter from being eaten worms. But what I'm saying, in this church at Antioch, when we see all these names, we have a very varied group of people. I'm not sure that's great English. An extremely varied group of people. From a Jewish background, from a Greek background, from a foreign background, from one of privilege and those things. But they're all together, and what are they doing? And Saul is with them. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. That's all we're going to talk about for just a few minutes this morning. That's all we're going to talk about. But the dedication, the sincerity with which they prayed and worshiped, I think is important. And I think for all of us, as in my life and probably in yours, with all the things going on, it doesn't stop my prayer life. It doesn't stop my worship, but it can certainly be just a four-way stop on the highway, right? And for them, for these folks now who have important jobs of teaching, of instructing, what are they doing? They're spending time in worship. And they're spending time in prayer. And what else are they doing? Heaven forbid that we talk about this. They're fasting. They're fasting. Now, we could spend a lot of time on fasting, but let's just look at it at a period. What does fasting do, at least on two or three levels, just kind of a 30,000 foot view? One, when we fast, it provides time. When one fasts, it provides time, because I don't know about you, but for most days now, I try to take a little time to eat during the day. And for me, when I'm not extremely busy, that hour for lunch to kind of get away is a refreshing time, and I try to do that. Now, there are times of the year and certain things going on, you just can't take the break, you know. But as a general rule, I'll just be honest with you, I try to take that break to eat. And after Dad had his heart surgery in the late 80s, we were really bad about not eating lunch, and it kind of came a thing for us. We're going to take an hour out of the day to eat, just to take a break and eat for health, for everything. We need to do that. We've just been working through, and we can take an hour. So we take that time. And I think there's some benefit to that socially, mentally, and physically, you know, to take a break and slow down a minute and eat. But what if I took that time, not every day, but on occasion, and spent that time to pray? Because sometimes I'm praying driving down the road, or you, and there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes I'm praying as I go to sleep, but I'm going to be honest with you. Most nights I'm a pretty good sleeper, or at least I fall asleep quickly. I wake up multiple times in the night, but I fall asleep. So do you ever in your prayer find yourself falling asleep? I'm not fussing at you about it. It just happens to us. That's not a bad time to pray. Sometimes in the morning when I'm praying, I just have to be honest with you, this is personal. That's why I got on my old boots. Because if I'm going to do anything today, I got to get up this morning and get started. Some of you are great. You can get up in the morning with a cup of coffee and have Bible study and have some time of devotion in the morning. I can't. I got to get up, hit the shower, and get my day started. That's where I'm the happiest. I got to get rolling. If I don't get up and get rolling, I'm just dragging all day. All right, I got to get up and roll. So that's not a good time for me. So what happens? You wind up, I'm up in the morning doing all the things that I got to do, and I do my lunch thing, and then at night we do a few things, and then I'm tired. And have I been prayerful? Have I been concerned? Yes, but have I really spent the fervent time in prayer? And so fasting provides a time when there's something important to say. Instead of taking lunch today, or, you know, I'm going to take that time for prayer or worship or study. Fasting does that for us. Fasting helps us focus. How many of you are Dave Ramsey fans, or at least fairly familiar with Dave Ramsey? Yeah. I still like to listen to Dave. I'll be honest with you, if Dave wants to go on vacation, I'm not near as smart as Dave. I don't have the million that Dave has, but I can answer most of those questions. You know, if you've listened for a while, I can answer most of those questions. It's still important. But to be successful financially, to get out of debt, what does Dave say you have to have? What does he say you have to have? Refers to an animal. Gazelle intensity. You have to be focused and have gazelle intensity, right? Well, in our spiritual lives, we need to have gazelle intensity. If there's something important to us, we need to be focused on it, just like there's a lion after us. That's what it's about. When there is a lion after a gazelle, what is the gazelle focused on? How good their eyes look. No, they're focused on getting away from the lion, right? An intensity, a single focus on survival, getting away from the line. Well, spiritually, we need to have some gazelle intensity. And it needs to be reflected in our prayer life and in our worship. That we are intent and intense on these things. Now, can you be like that every day, all day? I mean, God calls us to be number one, to be dedicated to Him, and for that to be the most important thing. And it has to be. But in living, we just can't have that intensity all day, every day. And I don't think I'm being unbiblical in this at all. Because Paul will even tell some of the folks, I believe it's the Thessalonians, to what? To lead quiet lives, right? That part of their service was to lead quiet lives, lives of honor. You know, you can't be on all the time, you know. But there are times in our day, in our week, in our lives, that we have to be focused with an intensity. This has to be important. We need to fast about this because it focuses our thoughts on worship and prayer. Focuses our thoughts on worship and prayer. And it changes when, maybe when we've got a little hunger, it kind of makes us focus, right? When it says we're sacrificing physically. And when we're talking about fasting, I'm not talking about for days. A lot of times the fast is just eat before daylight and you can eat again after dark. Just spend the daylight hours not eating, which right now is a little longer. That's a little easier in January, isn't it, than it is today. But to take that time, it focuses us. But the most important thing is, like Jesus, for us to realize that we need to be about worship and prayer with an intensity and a focus. Because it is important. That it is important because James, the brother of Jesus, will tell us what? That the fervent prayer, the intense prayer, the prayer with intensity of a righteous man has great power. Right? Now, does God hear us when we pray driving down the road? I absolutely believe He does. But if we want it to be important to God, it's got to be important to us, right? Now, I understand, and I've always struggled with this a little bit theologically, okay? I'll just be honest with you. I've studied this a little bit, that God knows, and when I ask God, He loves me, and He's going to act. So, I pray, and I hate to nag God about it, because I hate to be nagged. Don't you? But I'm going to tell you, Jesus tells us a parable about a widow who got justice from God or from the judge because she kept going back, right? And teaches us that. And what does Jesus do when He is facing something stressful and important in His life? He just didn't in passing say, Father, if this can pass from me, fine. I know You're going to do what's best for me because You're my Father and I know You. You're in me. I'm in You. I love You. Goodbye. In that garden, we see Him with such intensity, with such fervor, that He prays multiple times. And the Gospels tell us, He goes back and prays multiple times. And He's in such anguish, such determination, such focus, that He is sweating blood because this is important. And He makes it important before God. It is so important. It's so imperative that our worship and our prayer be important. And that we treat it with the importance that it is. And that we set aside time for it. Again, I got to change shoes. Kick yours off if you want to. Maybe. Taylor Beth, don't kick yours off. You're welcome. I want each of us to think. This is rhetorical. What is it in your life that you really enjoy and that's important? Is there a television show that you really enjoy? Is there a sports team that you really enjoy? Is there an activity that you really enjoy? And how many of us change our schedules to make sure that we can be there, that we can watch it, that we can be a part of it, that we can take, how many of us maybe even set aside money so we can go somewhere to be involved in this thing that we really enjoy? Nothing wrong with that. But do we have the same dedication to worship and prayer? Do we move things aside in our schedule to be involved in it like we might our favorite team or our favorite activity? How important to us is it? How important is our worship? And I'm not just talking about our Sunday morning assemblies, although they're important, but I'm just talking about our worship, our dedication to God, the time we spend in worship and praise and service to God. Is this important to us? I'm not going to keep going. I think you're getting the point. If you're not, you're kind of like the guy in the City Slickers movie. You're not ever going to learn how to set the VCR, so I'm not going to explain it to you again. But I think all of us know, and you understand why I changed shoes, because this is important. Because in our lives, it's easy for the important to get pushed aside by the urgent. And something else that was important is Paul and Barnabas and Saul are going to be sent out on a missionary journey. It's their first missionary journey that they're going on. And they're going from Antioch. And that when the Holy Spirit says, I want them to go out on this mission because this is an important thing that they're going to be about. And so what did those leaders in Antioch do? They continued to pray and fast about this, right? About them going about this service of God. And then they laid hands on them because this is important. You know, when we selected our elders and deacons, we prayed and laid our hands on them because it's an important work that they do, right? Especially that of our shepherds. But when we're about important, and this is important, that we need to pray and ask God's blessing, and we need to be dedicated to that. And then when we have, by the Spirit's help, called these men to this work, we need to be supportive of that and continue to be prayerful. But putting our hands on people and praying for them is an important thing. Being dedicated to this, say, this is an important work. This is a lifetime work. This is the most important thing. And we need to be involved because that's what they do. Instead of immediately just planning what this is all going to look like, which would be my first thing, right? Let's plan out how it's going to look, what I'm going to do. Is that your first? You don't raise your hand. But that's my first. Everybody has their thing. Or how is this going to inconvenience me? Or how am I going to rearrange everything to make this happen? We all have that thing that we push for. But these folks prayed and fasted and said, this is God's work and it's important. And the most important thing is for us to dedicate ourselves to it and talk to God about it. When we pray for each other, and I know we do. I know we do. We pray for our families. We pray for each other. We have a lengthy prayer list. And most of us probably pray about that. But there are folks on there that we know a little more about that we're probably more purposeful in praying about. But do we really pray about that and the things in our lives and about this congregation of people? Not only about our well-being, but about our service, about our purpose here, about what we're doing. Do we really fervently pray about that? When somebody asks you to pray about something that's really pushing them, really, maybe it's physical, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's spiritual. Not only just taking time to pray for a moment, will you take the time with some gazelle intensity, some real focus, go to the Father on their behalf? Because that's what we see the early church doing, isn't it? We see the early church focusing on this, focusing on prayer, focusing on worship. I, probably not unlike many of you, am activity driven. I like to be active. If there's a traffic jam, I'll go a longer way that might even take longer than waiting through the jam so I can keep moving. Do you? Because I just like to keep moving. I might not know where I'm going, but I'm making good time. But what we see spiritually is there is a time for us to stop and to be still and to be quiet and to be focused on worship and on prayer and let God move things and give God honor, give God glory. And that's all I want to call us to today. I'm going to quit. Probably went longer than I really intended to. But I think this is important. It's important for me. And I think it's important for many of us. Do we spend time in prayerful study, in prayerful worship? Do we spend dedicated time in worship? Again, not only corporate worship, but individual worship. When I'm saying that, I'm not talking about necessarily singing hymns, but I'm talking about prayerful over the Scripture and just taking time to stop and give praise to God. And that can be verbal or nonverbal, but just pausing and giving praise and worship to God. And when there's something important to pray about, do we stop and realize the importance of this to us or to someone else? And say, I'm going to dedicate some time in my life, because this is important, to carry this to God. To carry this to God. And that we're prayerful to God about using us in His service. That we just stop and dedicate ourselves to that, because it's impossible for us to be successful without God's blessing. It's impossible. I don't care what your measure of success is, it's impossible to get there without God's blessing. It's certainly impossible for us to be what God wants us to be without His blessing, without Him being involved in it. Plus, hey, why try to win the game, using a sports analogy, why try to win the game with the greatest player that ever lived on the bench? Does that make any sense? Any coach, NCAA tournament just ended up, it was a good tournament, wasn't it? Even if you're not, I mean, there was overtime games and they were close and, you know, if you're a ball fan, you got to have loved it. But which coach in the NCAA tournament didn't try to play his best players? Any of them said, I'm not playing my best players. I'm going to see if I can win with the bench. I even dressed out one of the managers. He's a little nerdy, but he sure tries hard. Anybody? Makes no sense. So why do we try to live life very often relegating God to the bench instead of depending on Him to play the game and to win it for us? Spending time with God, fasting and worshiping, fasting and praying, praying for one another. I think we ought to do that more as a congregation. We certainly ought to do it more individually. Nobody's going to check in on you unless you want somebody. You know, this is one of the things that having an accountability person is not a bad thing. Say, I'm going to be more dedicated to this. Let's talk about it. Let's check in on each other. You know, let's check in on each other. But certainly when those things that are important to us or others, let's be more deliberate in our prayer. Let's dedicate ourselves to it. Let's be intense about it, intense about our worship, because there's nothing more important than our being before God. We all intellectually know that, don't we? Anybody in here say, you know, being before God, there's nothing more important than that, than worship and prayer? We all get that intellectually. So what are we doing in practice? Are we dedicating ourselves to that? If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.